This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we start today with the emergency shelter system for families. Families could be limited to a 9-month stay after a vote by the Massachusetts House last night.
The system was never designed to see this many people in it at one time. It is at a breaking point.
That's State Representative Aaron Michaelowitz speaking on the House floor. Now, Governor Healey declared the system full in November, created a wait list that, as of March 1st, had 765 families on it. So, is 9 months realistic? Is it practical? And what happens to families when there's no more room for them at the end? Joining us now, Jeff Thielman, president of the International Institute of New England, an immigrant resettlement nonprofit. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. So just a little more context for folks. What the House voted on, just the House, right? Senate still has to do its thing, would limit families to between 9 and 12 months based on the status of everything from whether there's a pregnant person to if you are in job training, et cetera. So it's somewhere in that time frame. It would also send an additional $245 million to help pay for the system into the spring because we know we're going to be facing big deficits. Anything else that you think is key in what the House voted on?
Well, I mean, there's a provision in there to provide $2,500 credits, tax credits to employers that do job training with folks. So we think that's a good thing for sure. We are concerned, obviously, about the 9 to 12 month limit. That's going to be a short time for many families. It takes a longer period of time to find housing, number one. And people who are in the shelter system who are new to the United States of America can't really follow a rehousing plan, which requires you to go out and get an apartment because you're too new to the country. You don't have the language skills to find the apartment. You don't know how to navigate the system. So you need assistance from groups like ours and many others to find that apartment. And you need English classes that should be taking place on a regular basis right now. So there, it's a short time frame, I think. Maybe a benefit of this is that it will accelerate work inside the system. It'll force all of us who are involved in this mission in one way or another to work faster to change systems.
Okay, so a couple of things there, Jeff. First, I'm going to play a little bit more sound. This is from Assistant Majority Leader Alice Peisch talking to NBC 10.
We don't want to find ourselves in the position 9-12 months out where we have $0 for this program and we have thousands of families on the street.
So sort of that would be her response to what you just said. You laid some things out there, and I want to kind of do this almost rapid fire, Jeff. Okay, so you listed some things out. Refugees that you are working with, how long on average, roughly number of months, does it take to find an apartment?
So if you're coming to the United States as a refugee through the resettlement program, we find you an apartment right away. Before you arrive, we've secured an apartment. So if we were doing this as a normal refugee resettlement situation, knowing who's coming into the Commonwealth from the beginning, the federal government were telling us, and we had contracts with the federal government, and we were organized as we were when the Afghans came, we would find apartments for them. We might put them in a hotel for a few weeks. That would be a cost that we would have to absorb or get reimbursed for from someone. And then we would find them an apartment.
But in this circumstance?
Not happening.
And so how long would you say? If somebody said, listen, how long should this family plan that it's going to take? They ought to plan roughly.
If they have assistance, so if there is a case management system in place in which people are getting help, getting training for a job.
Right.
They are learning English.
Yep.
Someone is out there identifying an apartment for them. It might take. You can get them out in 9 months.
That's but it's going to take all of that for every single person or family that needs to come out.
For 3,800 families that don't speak English, that's what you're going to need. We don't have the capacity to do it right now.
Okay, and just flagging that our situation in our family emergency shelter system is that every family who qualifies is a legal resident of Massachusetts. We have seen an increase in that group of people coming from other countries, and now roughly 50% of people on the wait list, of families on the wait list, roughly estimated by the Healey administration to be migrants. Okay, next question. You said got to be taking English classes. If you are among that 50%, how long do you have to be in ESL or ESOL classes?
You know, generally it takes 65 hours of pretty good instruction and a lot of practice time to get to a point where you have enough English skills to get a job and keep a job. So employers will hire some people. If they have a Haitian Creole speaking staff member or supervisor who's bilingual or a Spanish English speaker who's bilingual as a supervisor, they can hire people and put them in certain jobs. But for the most part, you're talking about better paying jobs in warehouses and factories and other places, those kind of jobs where people want to work and make more money, those require some English skills. And so it's going to take 65 hours of instruction over a period of time in which you're practicing on a regular basis. There are some online tools that are being used. Those online tools work for some learners, not for all.
Okay, so next question, working. Right. We've been following the frustration among both State House officials and Beacon Hill officials in general with how long the federal government is taking to process work authorization. There were two clinics last fall, basically, that helped accelerate that. Short of a clinic like that, how long does it take someone to get a work permit?
It can take a few months, and also the employer authorization document application has to be done correctly. So the danger in people doing it on their own is they can make a mistake, and the end result is they don't get their EAD for a longer period of time. So one, we need help. Now, the state has set up a program, a resettlement services and legal services contract that the 8 resettlement agencies in the state have signed with the state, and we are helping people to get employer authorization documents, plus there have been the clinics you mentioned. But the other issue is housing. So you can talk all you want. You can talk all you want about an employer authorization document and a person getting a job, but they can't really get a job until they know where they're going to live. An employer wants to know that you have a place to live, and you need to know where you're going to live so you can navigate the world around you. We just moved some families from a hotel to Lowell. And once they got to Lowell, we helped them find a job. The two adults and the two families found jobs, and they're working, and they're making some money.
So a bit of a chicken and an egg problem there.
Correct. You got to get the apartment. You got to figure out where you're going to live. Then you can get the job. That's the best way to go.
We're speaking with Jeff Thielman, who's the president of International Institute of New England, as we look at this vote by the Massachusetts House yesterday, not to end the family shelter law in Massachusetts, which provides legal residents a right to emergency assistance as families, but to curb it, and in one of those ways is potentially shortening how long you can be in shelter. Okay, so is there a right length of time, Jeff? Did they just get the number wrong? Listen, they said 9 to 12, but actually if it were 15 to 18, is there a number, or is that just the wrong way to go at this?
I don't think, look, I understand policymakers have to set limits. I understand there's a limited amount of money. I get that. We all get that in this work, and we're all concerned about that. I don't think you can set an exact number of months for any one family. I think what you have to do is, you know, ideally we would get to these families sooner, when they get to the Commonwealth sooner. We need resources to do that. The ones that we want to get out of, we want to get everyone out of the shelter system. I don't know where they would go, Tiziana, if all of a sudden it's 9 months are up and they have no place to go. Where are they going to go? They don't have an apartment, but they better have a plan. So my hope with this legislation is that I don't like the timeline, but my hope is that it causes state government agencies like ours, to accelerate our processes so that we can get people out. We have a contract now with the state to exit people from shelters. And so all the resettlement agencies have signed an agreement to exit people from shelters. We're starting that work right now. We got to work quickly. We've got to work with a new system, the Executive Office of Housing and Livable Communities. My hope is that this legislation accelerates processes within that agency and other agencies.
All right, last little bit of sound here. Again, Aaron Michaelwitz, chair of Ways and Means in the House, on the floor yesterday.
Washington seems to care more about playing politics on this issue than rather offering solutions for us to implement. That inaction has forced us to make difficult decisions.
You're nodding. Can we solve this problem without federal help?
It's going to be very difficult. So the federal government should have solved the problem by now. And the federal government, just as an example, when Afghan humanitarian parolees came to the United States, they came with funding. They came to resettlement agencies across the state. The state gave us some money to receive these folks, but most of the money came from the federal government. There was a plan to receive them. It was a little bit difficult on the ground, but we did it. Ukrainians who have come into the country have come through Uniting for Ukraine with some additional federal money. The folks that are coming across the border now are not coming to us with a plan and with financial support. So the chairman is right.
All right. Jeff Thielman of the International Institute of New England, thanks for coming back in.
You bet. Thank you.